Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Fine, good evening to you folks. Welcome to the TPO Doc Talk Podcast on the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. Super cool episode tonight. Two-parter. We got some information to give to you on the first section. And the second section, we're going to introduce you to another veteran-owned small business in the fishing industry. We got Ronnie Romero first up. We're going to talk kayak insurance, man. If you probably didn't realize that it's a deal. So we're going to go over that. And on the second part, we're going to get to know Wicked Tungsten, man. We're going to get to know those guys. Jim is the U.S. Navy veteran that owns that, and he has Sam Jones joining us here to talk about it. So stay tuned. Let's go ahead and get the Doc Talk rolling. And welcome to another edition of the TPO Doc Talk Podcast. This episode is pre-recorded. We are not live. It says we're live. It lies. We're not live. It is a pre-recorded episode here. Although it is very close to the actual air date of this here. The interviews, however, one interview was done just a couple days ago. The interview on Wicked, that was done about a month and a half ago, somewhere in that ballpark. It's been a busy off-season for us, folks. Hey, man, season opener about to get fired up for the All-American Kayak Series, man. And I'm telling you, it's going to be an amazing season. Check this out. If you need a little bit of oomph and a little bit of push as to why you need to be fishing with this year, check this out. We crank things up this coming Friday on the 5th, 6th, and 7th. We go, obviously, the tournament on the 6th there. Let me make sure I got my dates right. My dates all messed up. No, we're 6th and 7th, yeah. Season opener at Lake of the Ozark Eco Fishing Shop is our host for that. We had Travis on just a while ago, a couple episodes ago. Man, we're excited for this. It's going to be a ton of fun. Should be a big field. Lake of the Ozarks is going to be early spring here. Going to be busy. But it's lots of opportunities, huge, huge body of water, so kayak anglers can spread out all over the place and really have a chance at some beautiful fish, awesome fishing. The communities in that area, I'm telling you, folks, I've fished down there many, many times. It is amazing. They're very welcoming, lots of resources available there, and obviously, if you have any kayak needs whatsoever, hit up Eco Fishing Shop. They'll get you squared away. As a reminder, if you got a problem with the catch board, anything going on with your catch items there, you can hit me up. While I'll be on scene there, and you can and I can get you squared away. I have some extra catch boards I can sell you that we keep on hand, thanks to Catch for working with us on that to make that possible, since that is the only board that we allow in tournaments, as with all of the major trails. All right, man, so let's go ahead and get this thing fired up here. First up, kayak insurance. We're going to talk about it. This is an educational piece, man. It's about 25 minutes long, somewhere in that ballpark. And Ronnie goes over some really super cool stuff. Ronnie Romero is somebody, if you haven't met, you got to meet. And so you're going to get a chance to right here and see him here. All his contact info will be included. You can see it on there. And you definitely reach out to this guy if you're in the state of Colorado. If you're not in the state of Colorado, reach out to your insurance agent. Check it out. If you need help finding somebody that carries good kayak insurance, Ronnie said he would help. I'll help get you in connection. Just let us know, man. We want to make sure everybody's covered up there. You know, this is our hobby, but we, you know, and they're inexpensive to get into in the kayak world, but at the same time, leave it to us as anglers to find ways to make it expensive. So let's make sure it's covered and you don't take any unnecessary mess with that. So without further ado, man, let's go ahead and fire this thing up and get into the interview with Mr. Ronnie Romero. What's happening, folks? It's Gene here, DPO Doc Talk Podcast. You know what, man? The season is upon us. For a lot of our buddies out in the Midwest, South, and the South, they've already been fired up and rolling, man. We were at the Bassmaster Classic not too long ago. A lot of people have been going. But for those, a lot of us in the country, our season is just opening up, man. The ice is off. Spring kind of jumped on us. Then it did a psych move and blasted us a little bit here in Colorado. But it's getting back. Now, whether that means you're putting a kayak in the pickup, throwing it on top of the roof of your car, or putting it on a trailer, you know, just going out to enjoy yourself fishing, or whether it's the tournament scene, bottom line is, man, that kayak's coming out of the garage, and it's going to be getting into harm's way at the end of this. And what I mean by that is in traffic. The one thing, I got a cat joining us here on the recording. That's fantastic. One of the things that that people don't often think about, and I'm a guy coming from the boat world over a few years back, and it dawned on me, like, holy crap, I didn't even think about this, is if you get in a car wreck, man, of any kind, or something happens, God forbid, something happens, it is not a guarantee that that kayak is covered. In most cases, it probably isn't. And dude, I mean, when we look at the cost of things these days and where this stuff's going with motors and electronics, you can't afford not to be insured. So that's what we're going to talk about today, man, is kayak insurance. And so who better than to bring in one of the original people that when we first started this podcast 3 years ago, one of the first people we interviewed here in Colorado. He was very instrumental. I've never told him this, but he was very instrumental in helping us get established in kayak here in Colorado, man. And we're forever grateful for Ronnie's help on this. This guy is an avid outdoorsman. He's a kayak angler himself. And he happens to be an insurance agent that can give you the ins and outs of this. So without further ado, let's bring in Mr. Ronnie Romero to the show. Ronnie, what's happening, dude?
What's going on, Gene?
You know, I never told you that before, dude. You and Alex and a couple other guys, dude, I can't thank you guys enough for helping bring me into the kayak world, because I have not looked back since I got in, man. I mean, I miss some things about my boat. It was a great boat, but dude, I love the kayak scene. I love the people. I love the gear. I love the experience. It's phenomenal, man. So thank you very much.
Yeah, that's awesome. I didn't know that, but yeah, happy to have you, man. It's been good to have you around.
It's a ton of fun. So yeah, man, so we're just talking about this thing. The season's getting fired up. Dude, you're an avid hunter, and you go on some, like, off-the-chain hunting trips here. What was this last one you were just on? Talk to me about that.
I actually went to Africa. That was my last big one. I won a trip in a raffle
auction
with Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation in like 2019, I think. And then, you know, we had it scheduled a couple times and it kept getting delayed from COVID, and finally we were able to go, and it was awesome. I had such a blast, and it's a unique experience out there, just because it's not what we expect, I don't think, coming from Colorado and doing, you know, our own public land kind of thing. But
yeah,
but I had a blast. I met a lot of cool people. In fact, the professional hunter that I met out there, he actually came and stayed with me like a month ago. He came and visited, and he had never been to the States, and he bounced around, saw a bunch of people, but he stayed with me for about a week, and it was just cool. It was a really cool experience. I had a blast. I got my mounts back, so I got a few things hanging on the wall at home just to kind of remember the experience. But yeah, it's a good time.
Dude, that is, I mean, isn't that one of the coolest things about the sport and the outdoors? I think, I mean, it transcends all aspects of the outdoors. We see it in the kayak fishing side a ton, but, you know, in other areas is the people, right? The connections you make. It's like, this is our common bond. We don't come from any other similarities in life, but it's that love for the outdoors and respect for nature that brings us immediately together. And yeah, you form some cool friendships out of this stuff. So that's super cool, man.
Yeah, it's definitely something that keeps me involved in the tournament angling side of things is all the guys that I met through the Colorado Kayak Fishing Club, and might run some Bassmaster stuff this year. But yeah, it's the people are awesome, and I mean nothing beats the trips. When we got the trip that's coming up for the All American Kayak Classic from qualifying last year, that's coming up at Truman. And I think there's 9 of us, and I mean one of the guys from Nebraska. We met him at the All American the first year. We're at a campsite next to him, and now he stays with us. Like, it's
nice.
Yeah, it's just it's cool. It's, you can't really beat it.
Yeah, man, I've got a ton of connections in that Missouri area that of people that I, the same thing. It's like any given time, I would gladly, you know, open up my Airbnb or hotel room if someone needed a bunk or whatever, because it's just these are good people from Georgia all the way to Colorado, man. I've got them, you know, covered across the board. They're up Minnesota to Texas, you name it. So, well, good stuff, man. And, you know, and that it kind of brings us to what we're talking about here today. We were just talking before we got going. In when I was tugging a 21-foot bass boat around, it was easily, you know, in my head constantly to remind me about insurance. That boat needs to be covered, trailer, check the trailer. Sometimes the mobility factor and the ease of use, like for me throwing my Unlimited in the bed of my truck with a bed extender, you almost, to a degree, kind of forget it's there sometimes, right? I mean, yeah. I know I do it pulling into a grocery store. I'm like, oh, that's right. I got a little hangover here. You know, I can't park up front type thing, or I'll be clipping granny in her cart, you know, with my yak. So it sometimes slips the head, the fact that if something were to happen out there, there's a good chance that gear and that kayak's not being covered, man, because you have bad insurance. That's not bad insurance at all. What that is they don't know you're carrying that stuff around with you. So you need somebody, in my opinion, like you, that you trust and know, that knows what we're doing out there, to talk with. So talk with us about that, just on the basic level of, you know, the kayak side when it comes to getting insurance.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a kayak is basically a boat with no motor. So, I mean, there's several ways to insure them. The biggest thing in Colorado is why we recommend having a separate policy, is because it's technically covered on your home insurance or renters or whatever you do. It's technically covered there. But we have so much hail and weather events that you're going to have a hail claim on your house at some point. And the last thing you'd ever want is a hail claim and then a claim for your kayak, which probably had a high deductible on your house policy too. And now you're, you know, either taking rate increases or just straight non-renewal, which in Colorado insurance right now is crazy. Really every state is having their own, you know, insurance issues, but Colorado is pretty unique right now. So, it's super inexpensive, and it just makes sense to do it. I mean, even if your kayak's worth over $1,500, I'd say it's worth it. I mean, pretty most carriers can do it. I'm a State Farm agent in Colorado. State Farm does a really good boat policy. You can usually do like $3,500 for the boat, and then put all your tackle, electronics, add your trailer. You can do all that stuff, and it's still less than $200 a year. So they're super inexpensive, and you don't have to switch everything to State Farm either. You can do a standalone boat policy. So if you've got State Farm already, if your agent doesn't know how to do it, have them reach out to me and I'll help them. Or if you just want to do just a standalone kayak, you know, we're more than happy to help. It's kind of a pain, but we don't mind helping when, you know, write these little things for people, but they're awesome. And the deductible is like $50. Like, so it's crazy. I mean, something happened, and the risk, I hate to say the risk is low, but it is pretty low. I mean, a nicer, you know, pedal kayak, the theft rates are not real high on them. A lot of it, because if someone steals it, what are they gonna do with it? Everyone has a bunch of stickers on it. Like, they're fairly unique. I mean, it's not, and they're 12 to 14 foot long.
Yeah.
So it's not like one guy's just, you know, it's not a smash and grab kind of
toting off with it.
Yeah. So the theft risk is not real high. It's most of the claims we've seen have been really from car accidents. That's the most common thing, is, you know, you get an accident on the way there. But yeah, super low deductible. There's little small endorsements that like I have on mine that even has a tournament reimbursement. So if you had already paid for a tournament and you can't back out and something happens, you can even file that on it. I mean, granted, for our kayak stuff, for the small, you know, local series, it's probably not worth it. But if you're doing the bigger stuff and, you know, you got a few hundred bucks involved, it's nothing for us to reimburse those if you can't make it for, you know, certain reason.
You said something here that I totally didn't even, first off, you know, homeowner's insurance policy probably covers it, or your renter's insurance. But, you know, tip to the wise, take it from an old guy and take it from an insurance agent. The least amount of claims you can put on your homeowner's insurance, the better, because that is probably your most expensive policy that you have. And for some folks that, you know, don't, maybe the out of sight, out of mind thing, it's rolled into escrow in their mortgage, so they don't really realize it. Look at that statement, man, and that's the last thing you want to do, is be putting claims on that thing for a kayak. Yeah, I mean, like you said, 100%. At $200 for a year, that is a no-brainer, even if it's $300. You know, I mean, I was paying, I think, five or six, I think, is what I paid, and I had a much higher deductible than that, but yeah, I mean, that's, to me, it's a no-brainer, man. Get that coverage on there. Protect yourself, because it's not important now until you need it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
like the risk is so low. I mean, the risk is low. I mean, I think I've only had a couple kayak claims. You know, I've been a State Farm for 17 years, but I've only had my agency for six, and I've only had a handful of kayak claims. But it's just one of those things, and unfortunately, one of the guys I know that lost pretty much everything didn't have insurance on it, and so they're just kind of out. And granted, we have a great,
get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Group that, you know, people will donate and try and help you if something happens, but I mean, do you want to depend on that? You want to throw one rod combo a year, you know, in value, and just have it covered and not worry about it,
right? You know? No, man, that's for sure. I think we had a situation last year where a young man had a situation that I think cost him quite a bit. I'm betting there wasn't insurance involved there, and thank goodness he was okay. You know, things worked out at the end of the day. But yeah, that was some scary stuff. So, no, man, it's the whole, you know, it's that, well, you know, to save some sophomoric humor here, it's that whole condom thing back in college, right? It's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it, right? I mean, that's the thing, right? I mean, it's you want to make sure that stuff is in place, and that's super cool. So talk to me on... you said there was some endorsements. So when we're talking about, we can get the kayak insured, and like most of them, like on my motor is completely, you know, removable. It just detaches. Mm-hmm. We've got lithium batteries in there. Those are probably the, you know, one of the higher expensive pieces. And then of course our graphs and such. Can we get coverage for all that kind of stuff? Say if something were to happen, an accident, or, you know, take it out of the car accidents. What if something really bad happens, like we've seen in the past, and, you know, guy flips over, bad accident, you lose your gear. Is that kind of stuff covered too, or no?
It is. Yeah, absolutely. So there's I have a little email template that I'll send out to people now when they do ask, because it's, I just say it's complicated. It's a little more complicated than just doing an auto policy, because you give me a VIN on your car and I know everything about that car. The serial numbers on kayaks don't really follow that way. And I don't know what you're taking on that kayak. So we kind of want to know, you still got to know your make and model, but I want to know the value that you want your kayak insured for.
Right.
Want to know the value of anything that you have attached to it. and I want to know the top end of anything that you'd take with you. So we always tell people, like, the most stuff you'd ever take on one trip, give me that number. That way, if you are loaded up and going to a national tournament and you have every rod you own and every chatterbait you've ever bought is all in there, you want all that stuff insured, because it will not change the premium much at all. I mean, it is such a small impact. You want everything covered. And that way, if something does happen or someone steals your truck from the hotel parking lot and everything's in it, everything's covered. So, but yes, you're right. If they flip, something like that, I mean, that's all in there.
Just had a buddy from another new canoe owner way up in the great north of Wisconsin there, literally off his trailer, had a 12-foot stolen, unlimited, stolen off the back of his trailer. I don't know if it was buttoned down other than ratchet straps, but just in an area that that there's not a high crime rate, you know. So my guess is it's some teenagers, out doing what they're doing. But still, nevertheless, man, it just, your heart breaks when you see this stuff. It's like, dude, I can't imagine what that would feel like, in there. So now that was going to be another question. So in the era that we're in now, there are a lot of guys and gals that are using trailers nowadays. Whether it be just to get it to the lake or to actually even launch from, does that change the policy at all if you have a trailer attached?
Not much. So we can include it in the boat policy. Like I had a utility trailer that I used for kayak and other stuff. If you're going to do that, we usually write them separately. And they're super inexpensive, like $20 a year on those utility trailers. Like, they cost nothing. So we can kind of bundle them in the same policy or do them separate, just to kind of depends on the use. But nice. You do want them included. Yeah. I mean, like I said, it doesn't cost much. And that's the thing that gets stolen more than the kayak. It'll be the trailer.
Right.
Yeah.
And some of these, like, I believe it's FTX is the name of them out of Texas. They're making some beautiful trailers, man.
Yeah.
And they've got those walk around catwalks on them now, so you can get full access around your kayak to, almost keep it to the point where your feet don't even need to get wet. I mean, it's super bougie. And that's just my speed. But it was one of the first things I said my first year in. It's like, my feet get more wet now than they ever did in my boat days. I'll tell you that. Yep. I could walk off the dock onto the deck of my boat, and while it was on the trailer, and I could get out of there. But so that's, and that's another concern that people should be watching, because some of those custom trailers, man, those things can get, $3,000 to $5,000. Sometimes more if you're putting rod holders and all that kind of stuff on there. You got to take care of your gear, man. You got to protect that stuff because, man, Colorado, where we live, I mean, let's face it. I mean, the population alone, you get Colorado Springs to Fort Collins. Bro, that I-25 is a death race. I avoid it as much as humanly possible. You never know. It's not just about you. It's about all the other yahoos running around out there and diving in and out of traffic. And that's the last thing you want is to get clipped, because it wouldn't take much to bend up your boat when it's made of roto-molded plastic, right?
Yeah, definitely wouldn't take much.
So I was noticing something here, man, that I never knew about before. You are a first responder, my friend.
That
is just fantastic.
Thanks. I'm just my local volunteer fire department.
Just nothing, brother. You're part of the group of people out there that make it so that the rest of us goofballs can go around safely doing what we do, man. So thank you very much. Sincerely appreciate that. So how do you pronounce it? Is it Beulah?
Yeah, Beulah. Yeah, it's just a little town about 20 minutes west of Pueblo, southwest of Pueblo.
Okay.
Just a small community, like 600 people. I moved there a couple of years ago.
That is awesome, dude. Yeah. And it's people like you, brother, that I mean, those little communities in I'm a former first responder myself, Larimer County Dive Rescue Team, served up there for several years before I moved away and then came back. And not everybody is equipped to do that kind of work in a community. So it's so important that the people that do have that desire to serve and can do that kind of work, it's so critical that they do it, because the community, man, talk about, not knowing you need them till you need them. Holy Moses. So that's super, super cool, man. And I was just looking down through the, through the Facebook page, and I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I didn't know that. How long you been doing that?
It's been about a year, a little over a year now.
Nice.
It's been pretty cool. Learning something new at 40 has been kind of a struggle for me, but
right.
It's a rural environment, and I live in a very wooded area.
A lot of wildland stuff then.
Yeah, a lot of wildfire stuff. And I was like, you know, I'm still physically able to do it. I want to be able to help if something goes down. And then it kind of just snowballed. So now we're actually an ambulance district as well. So I just finished my EMT a couple of weeks ago, and I just have to take my national registry test. I haven't scheduled that yet, but learning that was a whole nother language. I mean, I've been in insurance for 17 years, and I haven't been the idiot in an industry in a long time. So starting from scratch was definitely new. It was definitely tough for me.
You're not an idiot, brother. It's just, you know, like you said, it's just new acronyms, man. New alphabet soup you got to pick up on.
A whole language.
Do they put you guys through still? Because like we went through, mind you, when I was in was 2008 to 11 range. And so we did a lot of FEMA stuff because of Katrina and everything. Do you guys still do FEMA certifications and such?
No, I haven't done FEMA. I had to do some like national incident management courses and stuff like that, but nothing.
So same
it's
thing then.
Similar.
Yeah.
It's probably similar. I've done some FEMA stuff through State Farm, so you know, working hurricanes and stuff when I was doing that before I was an agent, but yep. not through our fire department.
Good stuff. And you're not a veteran.
No, sir.
Okay. Alex is the veteran. That's right.
Yep.
You guys were some of the first two Colorado guys that I ever had on, and I was remember one was a veteran, one was an insurance agent. let me not get you guys confused out there.
Yeah.
So, well, this is awesome, man. So it's, you know, like we said before, if you're in Colorado now, can you do insurance outside of Colorado, or are you Colorado specific?
I am Colorado specific. I have had some guys reach out on Facebook and stuff asking me, you know, about it. I can usually find an agent for them if they don't, you know, have State Farm already. If they have State Farm already, they can use their, you know, their local agent should be able to do it. Every state might be a little different, but it should be very similar. I mean, these boats across the board are pretty similar. There's a handful of states that can't ride them, but most of us can.
So bottom line is, if you're in Colorado, you see the information flowing at the bottom of our screen here, folks. Give them a call, throw an email, or go visit the website at insure719.com. Go check them out. If you don't have this insurance, I'm going to throw it out there. I'll just say it, put my 2 cents in there. Do not rely on this being on your homeowner's insurance, man. That's just not smart, maneuvering, in my opinion. You're just asking for problems when you're doing that. What better than to have it specifically insured, like you said, and then, you know, be able to get everything all in one location, you know? And dude, I'll tell you what carries a lot of weight for me too, is the fact that you're a kayak angler. I mean, you know,
you
are going to know what these men and women are going to be coming to you with, to put together. That feels like super good. I know that you and I are going to be having a conversation very soon because I love my insurance agent so much. He literally got insured here in the state. He's out of Minnesota, but he is also with AmFam. He can do insurance here in Colorado. I brought him with me. He does all my stuff here. But in this case here, I do want to, like you said, I was very happy to hear that you can just do this policy all by itself. So yeah, I want to get connected with your brother, and we'll definitely get that thing squared away. Kayak fishing season's on us, man. You fish the multi-species scene. You do some bass stuff. You do a ton of wreck stuff. Have you been out yet? Are you getting ready to go? What's it looking like for you?
It's a little early for me.
Yeah.
I did put away my ice gear and get my kayak ready. I've got some new gear this year, so I made one trip last weekend just to kind of test out some stuff and learned that I needed to move some stuff around. So I've got some parts on order and hopefully out in the next couple of weeks again, but I didn't catch anything. I only spent about 90 minutes on the water. It was a little too cold for me still.
So I got out when our first little dose of spring came in. Flanagan and I got a chance to get out and go splash around some little ponds. I've caught one fish so far, one bass so far on a little, of course, on my swim jig. That's my favorite surf bait of all time. I just love slinging that thing around. Caught one fish on that, and that's it so far, but it's weird for me this season, Ronnie, because I'm not fishing the national trails anymore for this season because I'm working the All-American stuff as an event manager. So all of my time is going to be, all my tournament stuff is going to be local stuff. I might try to sneak in some Saturday derbs, you know, that are running in conjunction with the All-American. Mm-hmm. Let those guys take my money, you know, in Missouri and Iowa and different places. But for the most part, Boyd, CKFC, is going to be the opener, man, on bass. Are you going to be fishing the bass one up there?
I doubt it. That is on my calendar. I think it's April 20th. I've got a, I actually have a sporting clay event thing out in Lamar. That's that weekend. So I don't think I'm gonna be able to make it, but we'll see.
Gotcha.
I do enjoy fishing Boyd. I don't get to fish it as much, but if not, I've got to wait until May to fish Pueblo. So
yeah. Yeah. I'm actually, this will be my first CKFC tournament that I can get in. And it actually, of all the schedule, looking to see where everything is, there's two events, actually three, because I can do that charity tournament that they got going on. I can't wait to go do that. That's going to be fun.
I can't wait for that one, man.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that one. Yeah.
That's going to be a ton of fun. But Boyd and Chatfield, I'll be honest, my two least favorite lakes in Colorado to fish. Boyd I like, except in my personal opinion, it fishes small. And so when you get a lot of guys on there, it's so tough to, you know, you really got to have some good communication going to work out, you know, because it's just not, I personally don't think there's a ton of space there. But who knows, maybe some spots open up that we haven't seen before. That'll be good.
That first tournament of the year is always pretty busy too.
Right? Everybody's got cabin fever looking to get out.
Yep.
So that should be pretty awesome there. Well, listen, man, I can't thank you enough here for coming on, talking with us about kayak insurance. Folks, you see this stuff rolling at the bottom, give Ronnie a call here. If you're in the state of Colorado, this is the guy you need to get connected with for your kayak insurance, hands down. And if you're outside of the state, he's offered to help you there. Talk to your insurance agent, see if they have a kayak policy. If they don't, then yeah. Come back, check this video, maybe give Ronnie a call. Maybe he can give you a tip on there. Or if you need to, reach out to me, and I'll get you in contact with the man himself here. And we'll get you squared away one way or another. Well, thank you, man. I'm excited for this year. I'm excited to see some stuff unfold. And I wish you and your team down there nothing but the best for the entire season.
Awesome. Thanks, Gene.
You bet, brother. Folks, stay with us here. Go check out Ronnie's where I just had it here. Boy, I'm getting old in the brain. Yes, Romero Insurance, Ronnie at Insure. And I didn't include your Facebook handle there. What is the Facebook?
It's just Romero Insurance Agency.
Romero Insurance Agency. Yep. Perfect. Perfect. I wondered why. I was like, why didn't I get that in there? Yeah. Make sure to go give a like and a follow there. A lot of good content coming through. Of course, with our stuff, hit the paddle and fin up, All-American Kayak Series, Battleborne Tackle, Romans Warrior Foundation, and the TPO Doc Talk Podcast. My goodness, that's a mouthful. Thanks, folks. Tight lines. Be safe.
Through the Blackwater Bayous and in the dark Louisiana night floats a duck camp, alive with the sounds of swamp pop and the smells of Cajun cooking. From the Mississippi Delta in Venice to the Cajun prairies of the Southwest, me and the Duck Camp Dinner's crew will be hunting and eating it all.
This is Duck Camp Dinner.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.
And welcome back to the show, folks. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Ronnie. I'll tell you what, like I said in the interview there, man, Ronnie was super influential, always there to lend a hand and help people out in the kayak fishing community. Not to mention the fact that the guy's been in business for a lot of years. He knows what he's talking about. Great dude. Man, get that kayak insurance. That's all I'm gonna say. You don't want to get caught, you know, sleeping on that for sure. So I know it's something we're going to get set up with. And get squared away for sure, because you need it, man. You don't want to be without it, and you don't want that ding on that homeowner's policy for sure. And most of the time, probably won't cover everything that's on the inside anyway, because you probably didn't disclose that to begin with. But who knows? Either way, just get it squared away, get it taken care of. All right, next up, we have an interview here, continuing in our series of veteran-owned small businesses, Wicked Weights. Wicked Tungsten. Jim is the U.S. veteran that owns that organization. At his request, he's not one for doing interviews and such like that. So we, of course, would honor that man's request. He has, the guest that he has come on for us is a representative of Wicked Tungsten there. It's Sam Jones. Sam is a super cool dude, and we sit down and get a chance to chat with him about this veteran-owned organization. And so, yeah, without further ado, let's go ahead and roll into that interview here and hope you enjoy. Man, we are continuing down our super cool journey here of exploring the fishing industry, man, and finding our veteran-owned organizations that are out there somewhere in the outdoor world. Could be fishing tackle, could be guiding service, could be hunting, you name it. Tonight we have a super, super cool guest coming on here. He's going to be a representative. He's not the vet himself, but after talking to the owner was more comfortable with having his right-hand man here come on and chat with us. So tonight, the veteran-owned organization we are going to be discussing and talking about is Wicked Weights Tungsten Fishing and Tackle. And joining us here is Mr. Sam Jones. Sam, welcome to the show, sir.
What's going on, man? Thanks for having me, Gene.
You bet, man. You bet. We're glad to have you here. Let me get rid of that that music there. So thanks a ton, man, for joining us here and coming in to talk. Before we get going too much further here, let's make sure that we give the shout out. Who is the owner of Wicked Weights is none other than U.S. Navy veteran Jim Sparone. He is the owner of Wicked Weights. And you know what? I've run into this in a few cases where some guys just, you know, this is not their gig, chatting about this themselves or whatever else. And we try to always respect that. We still have much love for them. But how'd you come to know Jim?
Gosh, social media. Jim's a New Jersey boy, and I'm out of Indiana, so we just kind of found each other through social media and became really good friends over the years, and it's been awesome.
That's cool, man. That's cool. And as we were talking off air, you, like me, you're not a U.S. veteran here, but obviously supporting veteran-owned organizations. What's you know, for you personally? How much does that play a role when you're looking at organizations out there? Mm-hmm. And what's it mean to you and your family, you know, supporting our U.S. vets where you can?
Yeah, so this is an interesting topic for me. And I really wanted to serve. That was a goal of mine for most of my childhood and into my teenage years. Life events happened and I didn't get to do that. So but a lot of my family has. My grandfathers did. I've got a brother-in-law who did. My father-in-law did. And a lot of friends. And so it's always been really important to me. It's something that anytime I have an opportunity to give back to those guys, I almost feel like it's like a duty, if you will, because I didn't get to serve. So, it's super important to me. I by no means only work with veteran owned companies, right, but I definitely seek that out. The first two, and you know, not to get too much into me because I want this to be about Jim and Wicked Weights, but the first few companies I worked with were all veteran owned companies.
Nice.
And so, yeah, it's always been a pleasure to work with those folks and a passion of mine to help them and their businesses out. And I've been able to do that with Jim for several years now.
That's awesome stuff, man. And I totally get when you're coming from, when you say it feels like your duty almost, it's like a responsibility in that, you know, we're able to go out and do the things we do because of the sacrifices of those people. Now, I don't expect everybody else to understand that or to operate by that. And that's totally cool.
No, absolutely not.
But there's a few of us out there that do feel that way. And I'll tell you, brother, it's what led me to opening up the nonprofit. I had one life-changing experience with a group of amazing human beings, and it set us on a new path. So yeah, totally get where you're coming from, man. So Wicked Weights Tungsten Fishing Tackle here. Let's put a couple things up here. First, their website, pretty simple, wickedweights.com, and it's tungsten, but also a few other things. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it's probably, if not, it's close to the largest tungsten tackle selection in the U.S.
No kidding.
Yeah, so we're not just talking worm weights. We're talking a variety of different types of weights, jigs, and terminal tackle. So everything from ice jigs and finesse stuff to, you know, punching and flipping stuff.
Let's go ahead and pull it up here so you get it from the screen up here. So, yeah, so here we are out at Wicked Weights. Killer logo. I like it. I like it a lot. A little gnarly looking fish there.
Yeah, there's some stories behind that one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we can get into that later.
Nice. Yeah, it looks like you got a little underspin action going here. Got some combat jig. One nice thing I will say already out the gates I like about your tungsten is with the printed weight on it. For an old guy, man, I'm getting to the point now where I like easy operation is what I'm looking for.
Yeah, we released the series. It's been over a year now. It's called the Black Onyx series or BOS series. You'll notice a military theme with a lot of what we do.
Sure.
And yeah, so the BOS series is that non-chip style weight with the stamped size on there, and those have been, you know, very popular. We still have some gloss and green pumpkin, but not a lot. That tomahawk weight there, you see,
what's the story on that thing, man? That looks application driven.
It is a little bit. So this product was quite a surprise when this dropped. It's been over a couple of years now. It's a flat sided arrowhead shaped tungsten weight, and we've got it in a variety of sizes. I think up to 1 ounce, maybe even a little larger there. Yeah, the drop down will tell us. But so this, what we brought this in is what we called a skipping weight. Okay, however, we have found that this thing has a lot of other applications that are really great for it. So you pair this up with any bait that skips well, any type of beaver style bait. If you've never even skipped a bait caster before, you're going to be able to do it pretty well with this. It skips so easily. But a couple other things that we found is that it comes through vegetation of all kinds super easy.
That's awesome.
So it's great for that as well. There's some guys that are using them as Carolina rigs. They really like them for Carolina rig weights.
And I'm going to assume you pin those, right?
Yeah, you would have to. Yep. So, of course, punching, flipping, you know, anytime you're around vegetation, it's really, really great. And anytime you want to skip it underneath, you know, overhanging cover, docks, it's also great for that. So,
right. Looks like a pretty good selection here of on the tungsten as well. A little mini Patriot there. It's got a matte finish. I like some of those.
Yeah, that product actually just released this month. So that was the newest addition. We've had the combat jig and the Patriot jig, which have been pretty popular amongst our customer base for years. And then this year we did bring out the mini Patriot, which is a little compact jig. It's got a 1/0 hook in it and super thin wire guard, and it's awesome.
Good stuff, man. And then you have that Black Onyx series. Talking about. Yep, that's the one with the printed. That's awesome.
Yep, all the standard stuff there, plus a barrel weight, which is great. And the little screw lock weight is something a lot of people haven't seen.
Yep.
But this is a cool addition as well.
Now, these are insert or insert free?
Insert free, gotcha. Diamond bore.
Nice.
Zero line issues with these weights.
That's awesome, man. And how long has Wicked been in operation? Do you know?
Off the top of my head, honestly, I don't. That's a great question. It's been some years now. I would say 2000. I want to say like 18. But I'm not even positive. Honestly, it's been, time flies, dude. It's kind of crazy to think how long it actually has been.
Yeah, no worries.
So,
looking here. I was on the about section. I didn't see anything there about.
I don't think it says on there, to be honest with you.
Gotcha. Well, that's awesome. So, what, in your experience, in what you remember, what brought Jim to do this? I mean, he serves, He goes out, he does some stuff. Now, is this the, I guess the first question, is this the only thing he does, or is this
no.
like a side hustle?
Yeah, it's total side hustle. Jim is still working class man out there. He drives trucks and in New Jersey and New York and all that, and busts his butt year round doing that. And then, you know, he's got Wicked Weights.
That's like 98% of the interviews I've been doing, man. That's the way. I mean, in today's world, you almost have to, you know, to make ends meet.
Yeah, it's really hard for brands, smaller brands right now, to make the leap to kind of the full time space. There's kind of like three tiers I kind of classify companies within the fishing industry, and it's really hard for the little guys to break past, you know, being a one man show and doing it on the side.
Especially when you got things like Pier Fishing, GSM, and those guys, you know, when they're mounting together, you know, they're putting multiple brands in one under one house, that's a tough budget to beat, man.
Yeah, so that has changed the dynamic for sure. And there's been a lot of talk around this recently, kind of publicly, but on the interior of the industry, you know, something we've been talking about for a little bit. But yeah, it's definitely made things more difficult. The way social media is now as well, and marketing within social media, very different landscape than what we had a year ago versus 3 years ago and when Jim got started. I mean, completely, it's like two different worlds.
So
Jim, I don't think he ever saw this as some get rich scheme or some retirement plan. Jim was just, like I said, just a good old boy truck driver, still is, fishing tournaments locally, and you know, where they're at, New Jersey, needing tungsten products, was looking for a solution for him, and found something, and then kind of started sharing it with his buddies, and literally almost overnight went from just selling to his buddies to having a pro staff and selling online. So right. It's kind of crazy.
Now, is he manufacturing here? Is the manufacturing being done elsewhere, and he's just distributing here?
Yeah, exactly. So tungsten can't really be manufactured in the U.S.
Right.
Not pure tungsten anyway. Right. So, that's a pretty hard thing to do. So yeah, like others,
about 2,500 degrees just to get it to be able to start to manipulate it.
Yeah.
So trust me, I looked into it.
Yeah, exactly. So, like a lot of other companies out there, now, you know, he's sourcing that. I will say one thing that's interesting about Jim that he did probably different than most. He went to several sources. Nice. And actually had the weights tested, the metals tested, to find what he felt was the purest option, the most reliable option before committing to some bulk orders and selling. So
I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. For even more content, be sure to watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents on the Waypoint TV channel every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit waypointtv.com to learn more.
Oh, that's awesome!
Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Good stuff.
He can stand behind it.
You know, and that's, you know, the reality of a global market out there is what it is. And there's just no way around that kind of stuff. You know, like I said, I actually was looking into it myself just for my own personal use. And then I realized my toaster oven didn't have a 2,500 degree setting.
So yeah, exactly.
I wasn't sure how we were going to, or where I wanted to have anything remotely close to that temperature by my house.
Right. Right. Let alone getting the material.
I'm going to go through some oven mitts, I'll tell you that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, that's awesome stuff. You know, and the tungsten difference, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm about as cheap as it gets, dude. I grew up in a way that you just made do with what you had, right?
Yeah.
When I first got going, a billion years ago when I first started off, I was convinced I was never going to need more than three fishing rods. And, you know, fast forward 10, 15 years, I had 30 some odd sitting in my rod locker in my bass boat. And now in my kayak, I load out with normally 8, but I can roll with 10 to 11 if I need to, you know, even in a kayak. Totally. And so it's like, it's ridiculous stuff. But I will say that when I made the swap over to tungsten, the difference is night and day.
Sure is.
But I'm going to, you know, preface this with that I don't know if you're just average bank fisherman who's just going out to, you know, drown some worms and hang out, not sure that the cost is really warranted for them. Yeah, there's some environmental benefit, kind of, but at the same note, not sure they're going to see it as much. Now, when you get dialed into your gear, however, and feeling contact and understanding these things becomes the difference between you cashing a check and not cashing a check, that to me is where the curve just goes through the roof, right, for tungsten.
Absolutely.
Dude, I can now, whether it's my spin cast gear or whether it's my bait casting setup, and I don't have real expensive rods at all. I told you, I started this whole thing with I'm cheap, but with a good piece of tungsten on the end, man, I can tell you when it's sand, when it's gravel, when it's wood, and yep. It's just by that feel as you're dragging that tungsten back, you know, and, it is one of those things that it's almost now I won't use anything, but you know, that's all that goes in the box. It's worth the money to me.
It is. And then you start talking about, you know, what tungsten is better than others and purity and tungsten. There's a lot of compound products out there that aren't actually tungsten. They're tungsten coated. And there's all that kind of stuff that goes into it as well. But yeah, no, the difference is, like you said, it is night and day. And I don't disagree with you. I think if you're just let's say average Joe angler,
wreck fishing,
you know, you may not notice or care to notice the difference, but when you start getting pretty serious about it, or you're a tackle junkie or something like that, I mean, it is night and day, especially, you know, a tungsten jig, right? Price point is a little higher, obviously, and so it might price some people out, but if you give it an opportunity to fish with it and you realize that with a lead jig, you don't really exactly know what's going on down there when you're trying to bring it through the brush pile. And with a tungsten jig, you know exactly what's going on. You're getting hung up less. And so kind of save money in that sense.
Oh, I'll tell you here, and I just wanted to share the screen again. A tungsten jig was probably where I noticed it the most, because I used to fish a lot more soft plastics than what I do now, but I am a jig guy. I throw jigs in just about every situation, every application. And a football or a swim jig that has a tungsten head on it, number one, the thing that I've noticed, it's going to be, in most cases, you can get the same weight with a slightly smaller profile. Absolutely. So it's going to reduce that down just a little bit, which is going to help you. You know, that's, you know, that little bit more, a little bit easier, you know, production. And yeah, the contact piece of it, it holds up better. It lasts longer. Yeah, there's just hands down, man. In the jig selection, tungsten jigs, that is the way, completely, in my book.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I of course have other jigs in my box, but more times than not, I've got one of those tungsten jigs, either the Combat or the Patriot, and I'm loving the Mini Patriot now. You know, that's going to be a key player, especially when you need to size down and finesse. But yeah, I couldn't agree more.
That Combat jig, is that that's not a swim jig. That's just a pitch and flip and skipping?
Or yeah, we just call it a casting jig. Honestly, it excels. I use it as a swim jig all the time. But it comes through cover and grass really well. It comes, you know, wood and rock, fishes everything. So it's just kind of honestly the perfect blend of a couple different head styles.
Nice.
It's a utility jig, man. I mean, you can really use it just about anywhere.
That's awesome. That's good stuff. So like we said, folks, head over to wickedweights.com. Check them out there. Check out the cool products. Get you a little bag of these. Try them out. Give them a whirl. You know, it can never go wrong having yourself an extra football jig or throw a quarter ounce, you know, all purpose jig like that. You can throw that thing anywhere, anytime. And, you know, from East Coast, West Coast, and you're going to catch a bass. You know what I mean?
Heck yeah.
It's going to happen there. And me personally, where my confidence level is at, bigger fish bite jigs, man. That is locked in my head. I feel it. I know it. And so I would rather get one good bite than three okay bites. You know what I mean? And
that
to me, that's the jig life right there, is just keep pitching, keep working, keep your head down, keep going.
Yeah. I love throwing a jig too. I do. I tell you, man, though, I have gotten, I know it's like, I don't even want to say it, but I have gotten into the Ned rig, man.
Yeah.
Like I have gotten into the Ned rig, and there's a little head that, we have that's pretty sneaky and multi-purpose.
What's that called?
It's called the Sidewinder. So we actually have a Ned head. It's called the Wicked Ned. Traditional mushroom style head. It's if you go under products and click all products, we can kind of roll through all of them.
Hang on a sec here. My side just locked up here, so let me kill
you're
this.
All right.
Let me kill this and bring it back up here. I'm running, I mean, I'm embarrassed. I'm running on such an old PC right now, man. I keep telling the wife, you know, with me doing the live stuff now on a, you know, the paddle and fin, I need a better PC, man. I can't have this thing locking up or kit dying on me in the middle of a show. So yeah, let's bring this back up here.
Best thing I ever did was when I switched over to Mac Pros.
Oh, see, 23 years in the IT industry, brother, you're not going to pull me over to that side.
I get it. I do. I get it. I get it for sure, man.
Because I was that way. Once you're in the iUniverse, man, there's no getting out of it. They got you for life then.
Yeah, I know, dude. I was preaching the same thing for a long time. I was selling Android phones over iPhones all day long, and then I went to the dark side, man, and you're right, I'm not going back. So,
you know, speaking of the dark side, before we get into these products here, I just wanted to bring this up, because this is so funny. You're like the fourth or fifth person I've been interviewing in the past, you know, three weeks here. What is it about us as anglers that are so afraid to admit the fact that we throw baits that catch fish, right? Like Wacky Worm, Ned Worm, Drop Shot. Bro, there's been more checks cashed on those setups than anything else.
Yeah.
You know, take KVD out of it, all right? Leave him out of the discussion for a second, and it's Wacky Rig, Drop Shot, Ned Rig, Sicko. Yeah. You know, just a freaking worm, dude.
I know, man. It's crazy. I don't know why we are that way. And I've gone through phases in my fishing evolution from bank to co-angler to boat to kayak. And through all of those, I've had phases where I'm like power fishing only and finesse fishing only. So I've got a good blend, but I just know it's like sometimes the thing you can't talk about. It's like
the old salty dogs hate to hear us admit the fact that, hey man, Ned Rig got the job done today.
I did, I've cashed more checks and won more events with a Ned Rig and a Wacky Rig than anything else.
Yeah, same. Wacky was up north. Wacky was my go-to over everything. Now coming down here with a lot less vegetation where I'm at here in Colorado, that Ned Rig has gone into play, and I've done a couple variations with it where I'll put I don't like fishing the real tiny dinky baits. I like throwing the bigger same ones on it. I'll literally drag it across the ground so that I'm not just sitting there staring, waiting. I'm actually actively moving. And it's almost like clockwork. If I can find a little bit of something to get tangled up in and I got to, you know, shake it loose, pow, that's usually when it gets smoked. You know, it's like,
I'm glad you're willing to talk about this, man, because this is something that's been, I haven't talked a whole lot about on podcasts and things like that, but it's something I really enjoy talking about because I've found some ways to fish it that I think are a little different.
Yeah.
And I've had quite a bit of success with it, so it's cool to talk about it.
That's awesome, man. So that takes us right in here. I'm looking at that Sergeant Shaky. I like what that's a
sweet shaky head right there. And it comes in a lot of sizes. We got some mag sizes as well in it. And they're all tungsten. It's got the perfect hook. And it's just awesome. I love that's probably one of the Willow is by far the top selling product we have outside of Worm and Flipping Weights, but that shaky head plays a lot. But that Sidewinder right there, so you see the Wicked Ned above it, just traditional mushroom Ned style, and if that's what you like, that's great. But like you mentioned, I like an upsized Ned rig.
Okay.
And so this is more of a swim bait hook. Okay.
So it kind of looks like,
it would be great for those of you with forward facing sonar. You can use it for a lot of different baits that are popular currently in that category. Use it for small swim baits, finesse swim baits and stuff. But I have adapted this head to Ned rig fishing. Nice. And it has been phenomenal because one of my favorite ways to throw a Ned rig is I will take, and you can use any Cinco style bait you like. I throw the BizBait Sassy Stick, and I just cut just a tiny bit off of it, just by the top section off of it, shorten it up just a little bit, and get a real bulky profile Ned rig. And you can use a heavier weight on that, but because it's tungsten and so compact, you know, you still have a smaller profile. And like you said, I like to drag it and fish it fast. I like to hop it. But one way I've found that has been extremely effective where I am, where we do have some grass or anywhere where there's grass, with this particular head, I've found that it comes through grass fairly well when you snap it. So I've been snapping a Ned rig through the grass with this head, with heavier weights, and have caught some of the biggest bass I've put on the board. I haven't talked much about this, especially.
I was going to say, so you and I both are sharing some juice here.
Because
I'll tell you what you're talking about was shown to me about 6 years ago when I lived back up in Minnesota.
And dude, it's an old tube technique, right?
We have such huge hydrilla mats and cabbage patches up there. This dude, I saw what he's doing. I'm like, what the hell are you throwing? And what are you, how are you doing? He was catching like every two cast pike, bass, anything would hit this. And what he was doing is exactly what you said. He'd throw it out. He knew he had about 2 foot before he got into the cabbage, you know, and it, the cabbage then was like 3 foot deep. He would literally keep that pole up and just sit there popping it and reeling. And he's ticking it right across the top of those weeds. And it just drove stuff bananas, man. Bananas. They come from like different counties to come hit that thing.
They do.
It was nuts.
It is. It's pretty crazy. And especially when you can sight fish and you can see the holes and stuff like that. It's super powerful. And if you ever are in a clear water situation where you can do this or pay attention to the way bluegill and minnows and bait fish act in the grass when they're active, not when they're just kind of lazy up on top or, you know, in it, but when they're actually active and moving around, it looks just like it. It looks like them darting around. It's a killer technique. And that head just works really well for it.
It looks like it. It looks like it's built for the different techniques. Got your nail weights. It looks like there's that old tomahawk we were talking about. And there was a better picture I saw of that tomahawk. If you turn it to the side, you can see what you were saying, how it's flat. It's not this bell looking thing that you're looking straight on. You got to look at it from the side. And if you see a three-dimensional picture, you'll see that it's actually skinny.
Yep. It
flattens down, which is pretty slick.
Correct. That ball jig right there. The grunt. The grunt is
great. The ball down here. Got it.
The grunt is great because you can put any hook you want on it. It's completely customizable in that sense. But that little ball jig right there really is a...
When you go out there and the fish are where you think they are, any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know right here at Hawk's Cave.
Oh, that's awesome!
Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors, every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Crappie jig, but nice. We have it in a variety of size options so that you can use it for small swim baits, yeah. and finesse applications as well. And that it's got a super sticky hook on it, and that's been a great little jig head as well. So
that's awesome. Some good looking swag there, it looks like. Good looking hoodie. Oh, there you go. Got a little, what are these? Ice fishing. Yeah, tungsten ice jigs.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
Good stuff. Okay. Yeah, man, it's you guys got a great lineup here of, there you go. You even got your rod covers as well. And of course, the sun shirts can't get away. Folks, get a chance. Get out here to wickedweights.com. Check these guys out. There's some cool stuff, and you can clearly tell by Sam and I talking here that the design of these products is done by anglers for purpose, and it's designed to catch fish. At the end of the day, that's what you're talking. You know, I was told something a long time ago. I'm an old guy. I'm at 51. And one of the things I learned early on is there's two types of tackle out there. There's the tackle that's designed to catch fish, and there's the tackle that's designed to catch fishermen.
Right.
It's like, you know, if people, ooh, that's cool. Look, okay, but what the hell's a fish going to think about that?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, there's nothing sexy about terminal tackle and weights. So it's just, it has to work. Like, it has to be functional. It has to catch, and the hookup's got to be good. It's got to be durable, because that's all it's got going for it. It is terminal tackle. There's nothing exciting about it.
I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I get excited when I see this stuff because I know it's the difference, right? Yeah. It's like fishing line, terminal tackle. People just don't think about those as much, and that's where they tend to skimp. And I'm like,
yeah.
You do realize that your terminal tackle and your line are the only connection you have between you and that fish.
Yeah, you are preaching to the choir. Line is one of my biggest pet peeves with people with anglers. So
and the terminal tackle's right there, dude. The weights, the hooks, brother. You need that stuff covered, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So, yeah, I personally think it's awesome stuff. I get more excited looking at these pages than I do, you know, a whole bag of crankbaits or something like that, because all I see is money going out the window with crankbaits.
Right.
I'm going to snag this on something.
Yeah,
exactly. 10 bucks broke.
Exactly.
Well, that's awesome stuff, man. And so any big news on deck for new products this year? Are you guys just going to put your head down, keep working hard, and keep Wicked Weights flowing here? What's 2024 look like for you guys?
So you got the Mini Patriot. Jim brought out earlier this month. That's kind of one of the bigger products. There is some other stuff that we're working on and playing with and testing. We might do some limited releases on a few things this year as well. But Jim's got some cool ideas for some stuff that's not available in tungsten yet.
Right.
And so, you know, it's just with anything in this industry, it takes a lot of time from conception to on a shelf. So, hopefully we'll see a few more things though this year.
Absolutely, man. That's awesome. That's good stuff. We are going to be watching very closely here from the TPO side of things. From all of us at the TPO and the Romans Warrior Foundation, and of course the All American Kayak Series and anybody else, Paddle and Finn, to Mr. Jim Sperone, thank you, sir, for your service, for what you've done, your family service, things you have done, things you will do and are currently doing. We sincerely appreciate you and everything you've done and created, and for bringing Sam to us, man. This is some good. I have a feeling I'm talking to a kindred spirit here, Sam, so that's awesome stuff.
Well, it's nice to be back on the old Paddle and Fin network. It's been a while, so it's been a pleasure, man.
It's a new look, but I'll tell you what, it's the same philosophy behind it. You know, the OG himself, Mr. Schiller, still is at the head of the table. The guys, you know, we've got some true powerhouse, amazing human beings in our fishing industry that are running the show here now. And I can tell you personally, when we got the call to bring our little show to the Paddle and Fin, brother, you know, I mean, you know this. You're a marketing guy, so you're going to appreciate what I'm about to say. We base our success on likes and follows, right? I mean,
yeah.
that's supposed to be what our measure is. But I'll
supposed
tell you what.
Right.
When a peer in the industry recognizes your work for being quality and worth something a little bit more than a freaking like or a follow, and they want you to be a part of their stuff, brother, that was such a huge compliment to us over here, because we've kept our head, you know, straight on the True Patriot Outfitters about what our mission is to get, you know, our nation's warfighters, get them out on the water, get them introduced to kayak fishing and, you know, bring some sort of outdoor healing to these men and women and their families across America. And so with that being our forefront, you know, we use the podcast just to kind of be a megaphone for us, you know, to go, hey,
right,
we're talking fishing, but did you also know
yeah,
how important what we love to do, what it can do for, you know, a section of our community that needs it. And so, yeah, man, that felt really, really good. And, you know, our subscribers, the likes and follows, obviously now that we're with Paddle and Fin, things are going to go through the roof, but a lot faster for us than what they were. But yeah, man, it's good to have you back on here. And I'm sure we'll talk to old Rusty Hook over there, Mr. John Rapp, and see if he's got some shows, and I'm sure we could make this a normal thing, man. I'd love to have you on and talk
hey,
to me your techniques and just fishing ideas.
Anytime, happy to come on. So,
do you have any experience in the Missouri Ozark area?
Very limited.
What about Kentucky Lake?
Oh, lots there.
Cool. Are you actively fishing a kayak series right now?
Yeah, so last year we made a big move and bought a property and been fixing it up, so I didn't fish a whole lot last year. But prior to that, I'd done a lot of the national stuff, a lot of local stuff. Here in the state of Indiana, I'm fortunate enough that I can probably fish 3 to 4 tournaments every week.
Wow.
From March to September. We have just an amazing tournament community here in Indiana. Christmas. So
that's kayaks or boats as well?
Nope, that's all kayaks. So
wow.
Yeah, maybe a whole nother topic for another show, but
yeah.
Indiana is where it's at when it comes to kayak fishing. We have maybe too many tournaments. So I fish a lot locally. I don't know how much national stuff I'll do this year, just because between family and the yep. new property and the business and all that still. Got a lot to do this year, but yeah. I'm going to try and get out some. I'll definitely be fishing locally.
Dude, June, we're going to be, the All-American Kayak Series is going to be down at Kentucky Lake. We're coming there. Moores Resort's going to host us. It's going to be
yeah.
a hell of a good time. If you can't make it to that one, then maybe what we could do is I'll touch base with you before the event and let's talk about it, kind of what the anglers are going to see when they go there, just from your experience. But if you're in it, then you don't have to give up any juice and just meet me there and I'll buy a beer.
Well, either way, in it or not in it, I'd be happy to talk about it. So I'm
That's
always
awesome.
Up for that. So yeah,
right.
No, hit me up.
Good stuff. Folks, Wicked Weights, get over also to Wicked Weights at Fish Wicked. You can find them Facebook. I assume Instagram also at the same handle.
Correct.
Perfect. Check them out there. Remember the Wicked Weights. It is veteran owned by Jim Sperone, owner of Wicked Weights, U.S. Navy veteran. Brother, thank you so very much. I appreciate you cutting out some time, you know, in the day to come here and chat with us, talk some, and I'm looking forward to having you back on, man.
No problem, man. Thanks for spotlighting Jim and Wicked Weights and having me.
You bet. You bet. Folks, we can't do this stuff without you. Those subscribes, we were just talking about it. It's what we need. It helps us get the mission out there a little bit further and expand our reach. So at True Patriot Outfitters, make sure to hit that. At the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network, check us out on YouTube, TPO.talk. You can also catch us there. Those subscribes, everything. We need your help with that, and it is greatly appreciated. As always, folks, tight lines, be safe. Thanks for watching, folks. We hope you enjoyed that interview with Sam Jones, getting to know Wicked. Another small business, another veteran-owned small business, and as usual, we want to highlight those. I want to make this statement as well. People sometimes ask me all the time about this, about, you know, do my sponsors have a problem? Well, I'll tell you, they've never said a single word to me that there's an issue, because I think it's an unwritten rule. We all understand. I have a mission here at the TPO, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to honor our nation's warfighters, first responders, and their families. And I'm the first to tell you, the organizations that I'm with, I believe them to be, and I have proof, you know, to support it, are top-notch, high-class organizations that support our organization. And it's who I use. It's who I trust. And so that's where we're at. But it's one of those things that we're adults, and we can recognize other organizations out there when we're trying to basically talk about that stuff. So I don't get involved in the it's got to be this or that or the he said, she said. That's never been a piece of what we do here at the True Patriot Outfitters, man. We're here for the people. We're here for those that serve. And that's how we're going to keep rolling it. And the companies that make that possible for us here: Battleborne Tackle, Vicious Fishing, Amped Outdoors, New Canoe, Altering Tackle, Eagle Claw, Dubrow Fishing, the Romans Warrior Foundation, Blackfish Gear. Those are the organizations that make it possible for the TPO to stay on its mission and do what it does. And we are to a fault loyal to those organizations. And we are forever in debt and grateful to them for the support they've given us to get us off the ground, get us moving, and then to sustain us, keep us moving out there, and keep this possible so that we can stay on track. So much love to all of those organizations and the people behind them, because as I've said, you know, product's one thing, customer service is another, but it's the people behind the scenes of those organizations I just read off that I admire the most. They are top rank human beings, and we love them very, very much, and are very thankful. So, hey man, stick with us here. The Lake of the Ozarks event's about to kick off for All American Kayak Series. Speaking of a deal coming up here, just want to drop this too. There's still time to get registered up for this bad boy. At the end of April, you have the Paddle and Fin tournament that's taking place on Dale Hollow. Check this out real fast. April 27th, 28th, $100. Get signed up. Get to Dale Hollow, man, if you can. We did everything we could to try to get that on our schedule. Unfortunately, we won't be able to be in attendance there. But I'm telling you, man, you don't want to miss this. It's a bucket lake. It's a bucket, you know, list destination for me. I've never had an opportunity to fish Dale Hollow, so I'm going to sorely miss that. And hopefully next year I get a chance to get there. But what a cool, cool deal that's going to be, Paddle and Fin. You know it's going to be a top-notch, you know, tournament there, everything put on there. A lot of good causes going on, a lot of cool people milling around. So get a chance, get signed up, get down there, check it out. Paddle and Fin, Dale Hollow, April 27th, 28th. It's available at Tourney X. Folks, that'll wrap it up. That'll do it for us here on the TPO Doc Talk podcast for this episode. We thank you, thank you, thank you. The subscribes, the likes, the follows, the shares, all that stuff. I can't tell you how much that helps us along the way. We don't focus heavily on that. That's not our number one concern. Content is more of our concern, and the quality of that. But I'll tell you, in this world, you know, that we deal in, that influence certainly does help us attract more attention for other sponsors. It's a great icebreaker and door opener when we have a larger following and influence piece. YouTube, Facebook. Those are the areas. YouTube's the big one for us. We want to continue that growth and push our channel. So any subscribes you can get us there, any shares to help us get more subscribes, that would greatly appreciated. And it helps keep us on track and on mission. As always, folks, be stick in tune this week, man. Lots of Lake of the Ozark content going to be coming your way. The season opener kicks off. It's going to be fire. As always, folks, tight lines and be safe.
Head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep sea adventures.
Coming to me.
Double. He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue. Brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
To go like just full-blown redneck on these fish.
This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.